Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Simon R. Green's Forest Kingdom Saga, Beyond the Blue Moon. Narrated by Terrence Aselford. With performances by Ren Casey, Danny Gavigan, Eric Messner, Ted Stoddard, Michael John Casey, Catherine Aselford, Nanette Savard, Jeff Allen, David Coyne, Dylan Lynch, Colleen Delaney, Richard Rowan, Joe Brack, James Konacek, Ken Jackson, Scott McCormick, Andy Clements, Christopher Graybill, Yasmin Toison, Michael Glenn, and Mort Shelby. Beyond the Blue Moon, Part 1. It was spring in Haven, and no one cared. Everywhere else in the world, it was a time for life and love and a joyful new start to all living things. But this was Haven, the infamous rotten apple of the Low Kingdoms. An independent city-state at the ass end of the southern lands, where swords and sorcery, religion and politics, life and death were just familiar coins in the everyday trade of a dark and twisted city. Set at the intersection of a dozen thriving trade routes, Haven blossomed over the years like a great gaudy bloom of a poisonous flower. People and creatures of all kinds came in search of the city's many secrets and mysteries. You could find anything at all in Haven if you were willing to pay the price, sometimes measured in gold, sometimes in lives, but nearly always, eventually, demanding your soul. Haven, the city of dreams, including all the bad ones. A place of wonders and horrors and everything in between. Hungry eyes watched from shadowed side streets, not all of them human, not all of them alive. Haven harbored glories and mysteries, messiahs and abominations, pleasures and depravities in all their forms, heroes and villains, and a whole lot of people just trying to get through the day. And, just sometimes, a few good men and women, honorable and true, doing their best to hold it all together, punish the guilty, and protect the innocent. Or at least try to keep the lid on. Two such were Hawk and Fisher, husband and wife, and captains in the city guard, possibly the only honest cops left in Haven. They'd never taken a bribe, never looked the other way, and never once given a villain an even break. Unless it was to his arm or leg. They lost as many battles as they won, but they'd won a few big ones in their time, and even saved the whole damn city more than once. It didn't win them promotions or even much in the way of raises or commendations because of the many influential enemies they'd made along the way, through their uncomfortable regard for truth and justice. But still, they fought the good fight, because that was who and what they were. If sometimes their methods were excessive and overly violent, if occasionally it seemed you could always tell where they'd been because they left a trail of bloody corpses behind them, well, they worked in Haven, after all. Their beat was the north side, the poorest, most desperate, most dangerous part of the city. And the most dangerous things in that infamous quarter were quite definitely Hawk and Fisher. People tended not to bother them. In fact, people tended to cross to the other side of the street when they saw them coming. Hawk and Fisher labored to build quite a reputation during their years in Haven. All of it earned the hard way. Hawk stood tall, dark, and no longer handsome. He wore a black silk patch over the empty socket where his right eye once cast a naive gaze on the world. A series of old scars ran raggedly down the right side of his face, giving him a cold, sinister look. He wore a simple white tunic and trousers under a thick black cloak, his only touch of color, a blue silk cravat at his throat. At first glance, he didn't look like much, lean and wiry rather than muscular, and building a stomach. He wore his dark hair at shoulder length, swept back from his forehead and tied at the back with a silver clasp. 35 years old, Hawk already showed thick streaks of gray in his hair. It would have been easy to dismiss him as just another bravo, a sword for hire, perhaps a little past his prime. But he carried himself with a dangerous alertness, and the cold gaze of his single dark eye glared disturbingly direct and unwavering. On his right hip, Hawk carried a short-handled axe instead of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?